Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody, welcome to episode 291. Yeah, you heard that, white. Closing in on 300. I just said white. Did you know that?
Mighty white of you.
I think, yeah, I've been listening to too much Donald Trump lately, maybe.
Yeah, you're going crazy on me here.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Well, I'm Trevor Anderson.
This is a fan-friendly, open-to-everybody podcast.
That's now. Jason Rugard. We're the Movie Mavericks. All right, give us a rundown.
Today, we've done this 291 times. I know. Crazy. All right, so got the box office ace prediction game for In the Heart of the Sea and Legends expanding wide this weekend. Also, a little bit of trivia. Actually, a lot of trivia. I got three questions for Trevor. Come at him hard and fast today. We've been gone for a couple weeks. So also reviews for Creed, The Night Before, Spy. What do you got, cooties here? Jeez.
I don't have cooties.
I don't know. I heard different.
I've had the shot.
Yeah, I took the penicillin once. And then we got the SpongeBob movie. We also got Unfriended. Tell me you didn't watch Unfriended. You did?
Oh, I totally did.
You wasted a Netflix on Unfriended? I'm disappointed. That was a whole week of transportation out of that thing. Anyways, we got streaming online picks and trailers for Captain America Civil War. We got Barbershop 3. Yes, they did a third one. Knight of Cups, Midnight Space, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, and The Legend of Tarzan. Whew, let's get into the game right away.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Okay, let's play. Are we going to do next week too?
Which would be... No, that's next week. That's next week.
Well, when next week? It's Thursday night. Are we going to do it? When are we recording next?
Oh, man, he's putting me on the spot here. I feel like
we're doing tomorrow. Are we going to do next week right now too?
See you again. I want to talk to you again. I want to know it now. I don't know. I'm not ready to... I'll tell you what. I'm not ready to talk Star Wars right now. That's enough of that. I can't even fathom that opening right now. This In the Heart of the Sea was hard enough.
That's what she said.
Yeah. And what are you thinking of for the whale tail?
I don't know. Let me look.
A little killer whale tail?
I forgot. I said 15 million.
Ooh. I'm going to go a little lower than that. I'm going 10.8 because I don't think this movie opens for shit. Reviews have not been kind at all on this thing. And really, I don't think it's getting kind of lost. It didn't get nominated for any of the Golden Globe nominations that came out today. I mean, it hasn't been mentioned at all, and it was moved specifically into this corridor to be an Oscar hopeful. So outside of a major Oscar surprise, this is going to just die quietly, especially that yeah. Star Wars follows it.
It hasn't been doing well, so overseas either. Well, you know, Star Wars doesn't come out this weekend. It comes out next weekend, so you don't have to worry about that, all right?
However, the weekend before The Avengers came out, the weekend before, what was the other one that was big? Furious 7 came out. The box office died. It was like Everybody was waiting, you know what I mean? It sucked all the air out of the weekend before.
Sure.
So we could have that issue here. That didn't happen when Jurassic World came out because that was June. Obviously, that's a primetime date. Things were still in play. But that happened twice this year. I have a feeling that's going to happen right now. I think people are going to be catching up on things they want to see, whether it be Creed, things like that are out there playing good word of mouth. Even James Bond is still in play. So things are still hanging tough in the top 10.
Okay, Legend. What do you think is going to expand to?
How many screens is this going to, by the way?
I don't know.
We're just throwing out there blind.
I went high on this because I didn't change.
I'm going 4.6.
Well, look. Did it not say? You're going 4.6?
Yep.
Well, I went 2. I thought that was high.
I'm going 4.6. I think this actually is packing them in.
You're not going to like that then.
Why? What's going on?
You haven't seen the theater count, have you?
No, what's the theater count? Give me the number.
Nope, you're already locked in at 4.
No, I ain't locked in shit.
You're locked in, buddy. You're locked in.
Say you do?
I got to put it in. You missed the cutoff, so I already got to put it in. I'm putting you in at 4. No.
How many theater count we got?
107.
107 theaters?
Yeah.
So why are we even including it this week? It's only expanding 40 theaters.
I know.
That's a technicality, for God's sakes. I can't do that then. I mean, what, 700 grand then?
Maybe I'll just delete it.
Yeah, we'll get rid of Legend. Okay, there's no Legend here. We're going In the Heart of the Seas only. You want to talk Star Wars? You want to get into the whole...
Kind of. Might as well just do next weekend.
All right, let's do it. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, we got three movies. We can do real
quick.
We're
officially 7 days out from the first screenings in the U.S. Well, of Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Let's talk the other two real quick, going up against them, so we can just brush by. Alvin the Chipmunks, what do you think?
I'm going to go 21 for Alvin.
Wow, that is high. I'm going to go 16.
Ow. I think kids... then again...
I think kids are going to go see Star Wars.
I know. But it being PG-13... Well, yeah, everyone's going to see
Star Wars. I don't give a shit, man. I think a lot of people are going to say PG-13, Shmeegee-13. You know, they're going to take the kids anyways. And it's Star Wars. So it's going to be... The violence is probably going to be more cartoony. Yes, and
it has to be.
Yeah, you know, and
a younger generation has been weaned, you know what I mean, on these, yeah, Disney, you know, like the Rebels series.
All
and
those, the Clone Wars, all those all have a lot of action and stuff in them and things. So I don't. So obviously, Sisters, this is the true, different movie out there, I guess.
Well, it's counter programming, if you will,
comedy.
I think Sisters is going to have a great multiplier. I just don't think it opens up very strongly.
I don't think it has a chance. Funny advertising, though, right? You've seen the
great
TV
trailer ads
where they say you can see two movies this weekend, Star Wars and Sisters. You don't have to just see Star Wars.
No, it's great. I mean, I remember when Austin Powers was out opposite The Phantom Menace, and a lot of their campaign at the time was, you know, like, yeah, there's two movies, and if you see one movie this summer, go see Phantom Menace. But if you see two, see this one, you know? Yeah. It's like... That kind of thing. But I think at the same time, this is going to have a great multiplier, but opens up very unsizably. 14 million, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I'm at 15.
Yeah, but I do think this trailer killed it. I saw this in front of Trainwreck, and the theater erupted, me included. And I was hoping to see that movie in the end and not Trainwreck. That ever happened to you? We see a trailer and go, I wish I was seeing that fucking movie.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Instead of the one. Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of women obviously really want to see Sisters. It's a good movie for that, but they're going to wind up being dragged to Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think...
And maybe not even dragged. A lot of them probably will want to go see it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars is like American pie in this country. Mm-hmm. Apple pie. It's like people just eat it up. So it's Americana at this point. It's almost like a tradition. You got to go see it. And it's opening up in such a wide release, 4,500 screens.
Interestingly enough, though... As it stands now, from what I hear, Quentin Tarantino's movie is going to be playing open wider in 70mm than Star Wars. It's interesting, huh?
What?
Yeah, The Hateful Eight's going to have more 70mm screens than Star Wars.
I didn't know Star Wars had any 70mm screens.
Yeah, well, it was shot on IMAX film. So they're actually playing it. You can look, not a lot of IMAXs, but some of them... it is playing on 70mm IMAX. So.
That is outrageous.
That is great. J.J. Abrams says, though...
That's a 400-pound platter. You know that? If agree, The Hateful Eight goes out at 70mm, that's 400 pounds.
Oh, and it's 3 hours long, so it's bigger than that. It's huge. I can't remember how many reels it was. Like 11 or something? I don't know. It was a lot. But yeah, so 3 hours, 10 minutes, something total, because it's got the 9-minute, you know...
Intermission
or whatever the fuck, and it's got like a prelude thing. But I'm seeking that out. They haven't said what theaters are playing at 70mm.
Well, I heard
but
that
I'm
they cut
seeking
those
it
down
out
to 50. Did you hear this as well?
I heard 50, and then I heard it grew from there to 70, and then possibly more. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, 50 would still be a lot.
Let's talk though about Star Wars here. What's the number you're going with? What are you at?
I was trying to talk about.
I want to know what you're going with.
Right now, I am at 220.
You know, I've been saying all year 300 million.
That's not a possibility.
That breaks 300
million.
It's
not even a possibility.
It's not a possibility. Right now, to be honest, there's not enough available screens.
The bar right now is set at 190.
Yeah, which I don't think. I'm going to go a little bit higher than you. I'm going to go 238 million.
Yeah.
But it's, which is still fucking astronomical, but it's not the 300 million. Now, if this was June, if this had that June 12th date that Jurassic World had, which had nothing up against it, it would fucking through the roof, but it's not. Now, the multiplier on this, where do you think this ends at, most importantly? What do you think final domestic?
I know that's
grosses?
The real question. I mean, you know, a billion. It could be. It could be. It could be a lot. I mean, this could do, you know, 3+ billion worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see 2 billion worldwide or overseas, and then, you know, just a billion domestic alone. You know, is not really out of the question. You know, a 4x multiplier on this.
I'm going to say this settles in the 800 million range domestically.
Probably more likely.
I don't think it's possible in this age to get to a to get that kind of level, like that Titanic type grossing, because of bootlegging and the fact that people's viewing habits have changed. Although this is the kind of movie that gets people out of the house into theaters. This is that.
We're talking about repeat, you know, as well. And this is definitely going to have that.
What if this is the Phantom Menace? We don't know, man.
That's the question.
This kind
I know.
Of fervor before the Phantom Menace coming out, and I still saw that 2x in the fucking. Technically, I've seen it 3x in the theater because I saw the 3D re-release. So, I mean, I've contributed to that movie's gross over the years. But what if this turns out to be that? We don't know.
I mean, it's possible with the amount of movies that these guys are making in this realm. We'll talk a little bit about that when we talk about the trailers a little bit, because I got some stuff to say about that. But, you know, you look at what happens with The Good Dinosaur, you know, you're going to have these stumbles because these are very formulaic. And so it's hard to tell when you're off the beaten path, you know, because as long as you follow that formula, as long as you think you're following the formula, you think you're golden, you know, but you might have misstepped.
And let's be honest, J.J. Abrams made one great movie, Star Trek.
I liked the second Star Trek as well. I liked the third Mission Impossible. What else have I liked? Super 8's fucking awesome. He's done really good stuff. I think he's really the only person who could tackle this at this point. Who else would you put up for this?
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the problem. I don't know. Exactly. I don't know what we're dealing with here. It looks.
He's very Spielbergian. You know, who would have been great to have helmed, one of the original Star Wars, and was busy, I guess. But you know, I think it's gonna be good. Come on, you've seen the trailers.
Why didn't Spielberg tackle this then? How great would that have been?
Yeah, that would have been really perfect. But
I mean, what you're doing the BFG, which we'll talk about.
Would that have been too sweet though?
What do you mean? That's ideal. That's the story to me. If you know, you get Spielberg to come take over the franchise for Lucas after all these years, and you know, give his blessing onto it with some, you know, that's a beautiful idea. I don't know, you know, why that was never really mentioned. I mean, you mentioned people that could do it. Chris Columbus could probably do it. And there's a lot of guys. Joe Johnston, I think, could probably do it.
Oh,
some
God.
Extent. I mean, they got Rian Johnson doing the next one. So what's the? I mean,
no, he's not. Isn't he doing the spinoff?
Okay.
There you go. So well, he's doing a lesser one, which sounds actually really good, but yeah.
I go 238, still breaks the record of all time, but isn't the astronomical.
Well, I go 220, so that means it'll open at 180.
And you think a billion in the States, that's a four and a half times.
Not out of the question. You know,
it's not out of the question, no.
4x multiplier. Oh, I say a billion, you know, if it does 950, I'm going to count that as a billion, you know. But yeah, I mean, you're right. 800 would be more. You know,
which would still make it the highest grossing film in Marvel.
More of a responsible prediction, I guess. Yeah. But you know, you're only 200 off there. You know, and I still think no matter even at 800, you know, there's still that 3 billion worldwide possibility there, because international box office is just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, this is going to be huge everywhere. I mean, this is not only, like I said, an American tradition. It has now grown internationally. These are iconic. The crazy thing is that, like, Kylo Ren and things like that are iconic characters before they're even, just from trailers and tidbits. Yeah. We already have iconic things, you know, like the little BB-8 and things. I mean, things that are now part of the Star Wars lexicon that we didn't even, and the movie hasn't even fucking premiered yet. It's bizarre. It really is its own experience.
Well, you have all the you know, the originals coming back as well, so that's this kind of makes this more of an event picture than really than the Phantom Menace was.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more in keeping in a way with the three that everybody like, as opposed to getting, you know, distancing itself from the three.
Yeah, because he really reinvented it when he made the prequels, you know, and it obviously didn't work.
Are you and I the only people that prefer Phantom Menace over Attack of the Clones? Because people always mock a fucking Phantom, and I'm like, Attack of the Clones is much worse than Phantom.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, yeah, right. Prequels, middle one's the worst. Old ones, middle one's the best.
Yeah, it's a trip. Yeah, because when I was a kid, my Star Wars, to me, I always felt the first Star Wars was clunky. It always played clunky. It still plays very.
It is, and it still does.
It's slow, and it's.
But it was at the time. It was a one. You know, it is what it was. It was made to be, just its own thing.
Agreed. I think that the second one to me was the best. Because it as I got older, I think when I was a kid, the third one was the best because the Ewoks. I was very young.
The third one's fun,
and I loved the third one growing up. And as I got older, the second one became my favorite one because it's got the darkest, best themes and a lot of the cool stuff happening in it and the great twist and all that kind of stuff. But it's strange how that twist, because it's opposite for me as I got older with the Indiana Jones trilogy. Because when I was a kid, I really liked Temple of Doom, the dark one. And as I got older, I really grew to appreciate Last Crusade.
I always loved Last Crusade, yeah.
Because I feel the same way about Raiders. I mean, as much as I love Raiders, I actually like Raiders more than I like the original Star Wars as, you know, filmmaking technique and flowability and rewatchability this day and age. I mean, I would say that Raiders you could put on it and it flows a little bit better than the original Star Wars does, although I'll probably get a shitload of fucking hate mail for saying that. But, I mean, I love them both dearly. But the point of the story is that as I got older, those two franchises, it's strange that the dark one I got away from as an adult in Indiana Jones, and the dark one I appreciated more in the Star Wars franchise as you get older. And there is no dark
one. But story-wise, I mean, comparing Empire to Temple is ridiculous.
Empire set not only...
Just story-wise, is like Temple of Doom just has no story.
But Empire set the precedent of what the middle chapter of a trilogy should be. You look at Pirates of the Caribbean, there's a lot of similarities in a lot of trilogies, including Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings, the first trilogy especially, that mirror a lot of elements that are happening in Empires. Like, they sent the blueprint on what to do with your middle, you know, how to advance to your third film.
I don't know about that so much, but okay.
Lucas is like the godfather of this, and honestly continues. Somebody wrote an article, I think it was Variety, and just how awkward and embarrassing this whole press tour has been for Lucas. And they likened it to like your parents getting a divorce and your dad coming to the wedding, but like standing in the back and like not really wanting to be seen, and like kind of he gets his blessing, but like it's odd because he knows. People didn't accept his version of how.
But he probably did the best thing, you know, really for it. Now, giving it to Disney is really because it's going to have life there.
Yeah, for a long after.
For sure. You ready for Indiana Jones 5?
I don't know.
Since you're so in love with Indiana Jones.
I don't know if I am because I keep forgetting there's an Indiana Jones 4.
They're going to do it before he hits 80.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I don't know. I thought the fourth. I would like to see a fifth one just to make up for the fourth one because I was so impressed with Mission Impossible 5 that I'm glad it was there to make up for that fourth one that I didn't care for. So I would welcome.
If they do a fifth one, it's unfortunate. I mean, the whole thing. One of the things I love about the third one so much, obviously, is Sean Connery. But now to take the kid, essentially in that one, and Harrison Ford was an adult back then, and so that was kind of the joke. You know, they called him Junior. He was still a kid at heart and all this, but to take him and just have him be the old man now, but he still acts like the kid. I don't know. It's like, fuck, did Indiana Jones just forget to grow up? Like,
well, I think what you're saying,
like, I wish that they had built the character like over that span of time, you know, was there no growth for him at all?
I think I would liken that to, you know, I'm going to talk about Creed here in a little bit, that the Rocky character is allowed to grow nicely in that. You know, he's not acting younger. He's aging. And Indiana Jones is not a character you really want to see age. Do you know what I mean? He's young.
He could be, but you have to do it. I mean, I agree with you, but I think that there's – because of that, there was that fear of doing anything with the character like that. And it ruined it even more.
Wrote themselves into a corner in part four, and now they're stuck. So good luck with that.
Well, there's aliens now, so they can do whatever they want. Actually, I think, you know, Star Wars, Indiana Jones crossover.
Maybe that's what they were setting up the whole time, is the universe connection, right?
I'm just saying. All right. What's the trivia? You got some trivia for me?
I got many trivia questions for you tonight,
right? Oh, shit.
All right. First of all, this one is only partially related to film.
Star Wars is the answer.
Yeah, you're close. I'll take Star Wars for $600.
I'm sorry. It's James Bond.
No, did you hear? I don't know if you saw Saturday Night Live last week, but the guys that always mispronounce things, they called it Star Wars and the Four Jamaicans. Hey, you hear about this movie? Star Wars and the Four Jamaicans? It's directed by Jar Jar Binks. And he's like, no, I think it's J.J. Abrams. And then, pretty sure, Jar Jar Binks. So anyways.
Four Jamaicans.
Moving on. Do you know what the G.I. in G.I. Joe stands for?
Well, general issue.
Close.
What is it?
Government issue.
Oh, government issue. Right.
I did not know that. Good man. Good man. You know your Hasbro. All right, let's move on.
Well, it was, yeah. I mean, that doesn't actually have.
That doesn't have to do with movies. I just thought, it's just trivia there.
Well, it doesn't really have anything to do with G.I. Joe. That was just, they said G.I. You know, that's a real thing. That's why he's G.I. Joe.
Yeah, no, I know. I never fucking put never two together. Yeah. I just played with him, I guess. So let's move on. All right, give me this. I got one for you.
Uh-oh.
You have to name the director.
Oh, shit.
Actually, fuck
J.J. Abrams.
Exactly. Star Wars, James Bond, Rock. The only thing you have to do is either name the director or the actress, okay? This is a two-parter, so you can get one of two-part, okay? Name the only actress to be nominated for an Oscar while being directed by her brother. There's an actress, actress of all time who was nominated for an Oscar for appearing in a movie that was directed by her brother. Can you name either the actress?
A time period?
We're going to go, I'm going to take it from 1970s to 1990s.
Holy shit. Well, I'm really not going to know then.
And it's kind of a trick question on top of it. It's fucked up, but you're out. If people out there listening, this is a tough trivia question. I had to look. I thought this was the case, and I had to look it up.
Know.
It proves to be true. The answer is Talia Shire, who does play Adrian, is nominated for The Godfather 2, which was directed by her brother Francis Ford Coppola. It's not really fair because she took her husband's last name of Shire, but she is a Coppola. Nicolas Cage's aunt.
It's true. I mean, I knew that.
Yeah, so
I didn't think that she. I didn't. Yeah. I didn't remember any of that. So,
we're sticking with that theme for our third question.
Oh shit! Nicolas Cage.
This one's a little easier, right? Jason Schwartz. Just gonna name off Coppolas here.
Yeah. Coppolas. Sophia.
There's a lot of Coppolas out there hiding under different names. Believe me.
Well, there's a lot of. Well.
Where was that going? All right.
No.
I'm glad you stopped yourself. Van by the river.
Mm-hmm. Natalie Hirschlag. All right, let's go.
Today was a great fucking day because the Golden Globes were nominated. It came out, and my boy Stallone was nominated for the role of Rocky Balboa in Creed. Great, great, great news. I hope he gets nominated for an Oscar.
Creed's got a fairly good shot with such a weak
It's a weird field, right? It's wide open.
Horribly weak, but it's weak enough to where that Creed could actually be a contender.
I'll say this: there's no one movie that's carrying it away like Birdman.
No.
We saw last year, whatever you want to say, the year before, 12 Years a Slave, or however it goes down the line.
Well, DiCaprio movie's not out yet, right? So, I mean, that could really be the only one I see.
I hear it's possible. Unremarkably grim, though. Grim is like.
I did too, but you know, yeah.
I'm very keen on seeing that.
Fair
though.
Enough. What's your question?
All right. So if Stallone does get nominated,
uh-huh.
or presumably Best Supporting Actor, there's one other actor ever who got nominated, not for the same role at different time periods. That's been done many times. And the last time I think it was done was with Paul Newman for the Hustler and Color of Money. It was a 25-year gap. Now, the 39-year gap from Rocky to Creed, if Stallone does get the nomination, would be the mm-hmm. longest ever. But there's one other actor who was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in the role, and then a couple years later was nominated for Best Actor for playing that same role. Now, Stallone would be doing the opposite, going from actor to supporting actor. But can you name either the role or the star?
No. There's no way.
It's actually his fellow Golden Globe nominee Al Pacino, who did it for The Godfather, sticking with The Godfather theme here.
Oh, that Michael Corleone, is tricky.
Yeah, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in 1972, and then he went on to be nominated for Best Actor. Yeah. And De Niro got the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for his performance in that. Pacino wouldn't even get the Oscar.
Don't think until, about that. You're pulling out some old shit, though.
Why you guys bring up old shit?
Jeez. Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, it's Oscar shit. I don't know. Just weird trivia. Hey, you knew what G.I. Joe meant, though. I'm proud of you. Proud of you, son. Uh-huh. And that's the name of the game.
Wow.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back.
I don't know if it's the name of the game.
Reviews and trailers.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
All right, Kristen, I am so excited that you've decided to do a podcast with me, but what are we going to do a podcast about? There's so many other movie podcasts. We got to do something original.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Disney movies. What about something like that?
That's just kid stuff. What do we want to do that for?
Did you know that The Avengers is a Disney movie? Or that Pulp Fiction is a Disney movie?
Pulp Fiction is not a Disney movie.
It's technically owned by Miramax, which is part of Disney.
We are still going to talk about the Disney animated movies, though, right?
I thought you said that was kid stuff.
Well, you know, I've got two kids. I got to be a good dad and stuff.
So be sure to subscribe to the Walt Sent Me podcast, where we discuss the various subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Studios, including the animated movies.
It's available on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts. And I swear, it's not kid stuff.
I nominate Baywatch Holy Man, which is a Buena Vista film, okay. And the Return of Michael Myers, Halloween 6.
They could watch the Touchstone catalog.
Yeah, I mean, that takes some working through. Good luck. At least you got Captain Ron in there.
Thank God.
All right, we got reviews, and I gave you some shit earlier about Unfriended, but was it that bad?
Oh, it's horrendous.
Is it bad?
It's real bad. I mean, it's watching someone use a computer. I mean, literally for long periods of time. And like the sound, she mutes the sound. And so it's just her clicking on things like surfing the web or.
Right. Let me ask you this about
around
the killer.
Stuff. It's really
about,
bad.
About the reveal. Is it earned? Is it fair? Is it one of the people we know on screen or is it out of left field?
Oh, no. It's a ghost. I mean, in the trailer, I think they tell you it was a
ghost. Thought like one of the persons killed her though, or had like something to do with it. And that was going on.
Well, yeah, but they don't kill her. She commits suicide. It's a bullying thing.
Deal,
so it's
right?
An
yeah.
online bullying thing. Yeah. And so it plays games with them. It's a pretty, you know, good ghost as far as like being able to use a computer and stuff. It Skypes better than I could ever Skype.
Oh yeah, its connection is great. It looked like on the trailer.
It's in it. So it plays like games with them and stuff, and then, you know, kills them. I don't know. It's weak plot in general. It's poorly put together. And then just because it's literally just a screen grab of someone's computer, you can imagine what that's like when you have just no point to have a movie to begin with. You know, it's pretty boring.
You know, you said something to me earlier off air, and I wanted to address it on air about this being an incredibly weak year for
me. I kind of thought, you know, I was excited to begin with, and even, you know, in middle of summer, I thought, this is a pretty good year. You know, I'm enjoying some movies and stuff. But now that we're at the end, I feel like, and we haven't done our list yet, so maybe I'll change my mind when I do the list and I really look at and pay attention to what movies I liked. But I just feel a little empty, you know. I feel like I don't know. For some reason I thought this was a full year of movies, and this doesn't feel that way now that I get to the end.
I think that this year's genre films have taken a huge hit. There's been no breakout horror film as of yet, and it doesn't look like there will be.
That's true.
There's been no breakout comedy of the year, and it doesn't look like there really will be. Everything's just done middling business.
Well, almost everything. You have to admit, a lot of the really good stuff came out really pre-summer.
Or summer, even. I mean, a lot of those comedies that were hits and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've liked, obviously, I'm going to talk about some movies I like this podcast too, but a lot of good stuff came out in weird times of the year this year, I thought.
Yeah, exactly. It was really weird timing, right? And even the big movies that did really well, like Jurassic World,
which was great. You know, I mean, you enjoyed that.
I liked it a lot, but it felt like a fluke a little bit, you know, and it still kind of feels to me like a bit of a fluke. And it's really not, you know, I still have to say it's not the most amazing, greatest, fucking awesomest movie in the world, but it's very good. It's solid. It's great. Yeah.
And so is Mission Impossible 5, which you haven't seen yet. And I think you might change your tune.
I haven't seen that. Maybe I like that. I mean, Mad Max, you know, obviously.
Yeah, this is a great year for big budget blockbuster filmmaking. It really is.
I don't know
if
that's true. I mean,
it's a great year.
Name them off. You got two, three. I don't know. With the amount that's normally being released and that you see about, I don't know.
Well, because you're bombarded with the Furious Sevens and the Spectres and things that aren't that, you know, particularly successful, and they kind of leave you.
Well, they're not very good.
Well, they leave you lacking. Yeah, I mean that's why things like The Last Witch Hunter come out, and you think about that movie, The Last Witch Hunter. Now that played as a trailer in front of Furious Seven, which did, you know, sold 40 million tickets. So think about all the impressions that made, and it still couldn't muster anything. That just goes to show you shit is shit, and people stay away from it. But this year, people have showed up when things are good. I mean, there's been successes. Love and Mercy did very well, which I think is one of the better movies of the year, in limited release and some IY. I mean, you looked at End of the Tour. There is good movies that are lurking out there. And at the same time, the blockbusters of the year weren't that bad this year. Now, the ones that stunk were horrendous to me. I mean, I thought Terminator Genesis was abysmal, but you seem to like that one. But as a year, I don't think it's as strong as other years, but in the award season corridor that we're in, but I do think that the summer season
maybe
was very successful.
Half my problem is that I didn't watch a lot of these movies until now, and so I'm seeing all, like you just mentioned, the Terminator movie. Well, I just saw that not too long ago. Maybe that's my problem. I waited to watch the shitty ones until the end of the year.
Well, you know, it's nice too.
Maybe that's what I did.
Is that you know, you get away from the, by doing that, you're away from the hype and the marketing. Because when I see something, I usually see something on opening weekend or shortly thereafter. And by then, I'm part of that hype machine. You know, I've got the impressions and I've seen all the commercials and trailers.
That's
and I'm ready to do my, right? So that's why I'm let down a lot of the time. And a lot of the time, you see
you,
it. And
I'm let down a lot of the time. That's why Jurassic World was kind of felt like a letdown to me, because everyone had built it up so much. And I watch it, I'm like, fuck, it's a regular movie. You know, it's good, but it ain't like, why is everyone talking about like it's the second coming, you know? But if I had been there if I had come in through the doors when everyone else did, I probably would have been with them, you know. I probably would have been with the crowd.
That happened to me with Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't love it. I like it a lot, but I didn't see it in the theater. I caught it on Blu-ray.
I don't love it either. It's good though. It's really good. That to me is about a perfect Jurassic World, you know, lineup. Those two are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know,
I was really impressed though with some of the stuff I saw this summer. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens here this year.
Well, we'll do our 10 best and 10 worst, and maybe I'll change my tune. I don't know.
That'll be next episode, actually.
Yeah, now we're here.
Yeah. All right, so I saw something that I have a suspicion will be on my top 10 of the year, and that is Creed.
A best.
I've seen this twice now. And, I mean, my review is up on MovieMavericks.com. I pour my heart out into that one, so I really don't want to rehash this too much. But at the same time, I got to say, I don't want to – using the word stunning is kind of, I guess, overrated now because everything is stunning and
incredibly
amazing.
You're talking about Michael B. Jordan's amazing bod, of course.
No, I'm talking about the fact that Stallone got me all beclempt. I choked up at this fucking thing.
So, yes. So, hold on now. Pump the brakes because I just have to know. We talked a little bit about the sickness. You know, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Does Rocky getting sick work?
Yes, because it's such a small section of the film. It really is 10 minutes of the movie. It's not the movie. He doesn't – I mean, spoiler alert here. Rocky doesn't die in this film. He makes it through.
No. Well, if you listen to the soundtrack, you can read the
you can read – exactly.
You can read the notes and see exactly – oh, Rocky gets sick. Okay.
So you listen to the soundtrack. You listen to the score on Spotify?
Yeah, score's good.
Score is fucking fantastic. I love this score. I've been listening to it quite a bit. It works. It's one of those things where if you listen to the score, I've seen it twice now, like I said, and the second time I picked up even more on the score. And I don't want to say it's slow. It's 2 hours and 12 minutes. It moves very well for 2 hours and 12 minutes. Every scene is essential in that movie for what it's doing. I say the least successful element of the movie is probably the love story because it's not exactly the Rocky Adrian stuff. She is losing her hearing, and it's not some sort of plot device where like a guy coughs all the movie and in the end he dies of cancer. It's just there. It's just, you know, she's fighting something too, and it's a deficiency.
And this is Michael B. Jordan's love interest.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. The girl in it named Bianca.
Because Rocky his one love and he's done.
Rocky's by himself in this movie. His son is away. That's maybe my one complaint about this movie is
The kid doesn't show up in this,
well,
does
he? They do give it lip service that Rocky's son is moved away with a girlfriend to Canada, and he calls from now and then, but he's not really, you know, they're not very close, it seems, which is fairly sad. But at the same time, my one complaint with this movie that everyone seems to be overlooking is that when Rocky gets cancer, or it's known that he gets cancer, the son doesn't call or anything. They need to see where the son got in touch with his old man. It's like, what a prick. But the movie works so well on so many levels. And I said it in my review, you don't really need to be a Rocky fan. Having some sort of knowledge of the series is obviously going to help you. And if you do know the movies, I mean, I feel like as well as I do and super fans do, you will gain so much more appreciation for – this is the best bit of fan fiction I've ever seen. It's like somebody wrote the greatest fan fiction, you know, like – you wouldn't expect it to work like this, but it makes so much fucking sense. Mm-hmm. And they worked something. They worked the things in from the trilogy, or the, I mean, I should say the quadrilogy. I mean, no, there's six of them. No, right? I don't know what the fuck that is.
I mean, it's the sixology.
Yeah, exactly. It's Aquarians or whatever. there's so many things, and it works on so many more levels in that sense, but it's enjoyable to all. And in the screening that I saw it in now both times, people cheered, clapped, and cried. I mean, It's people are moved by this, and I loved it. I really did. I think Michael B. Jordan is a fantastic star. Coogler gets the shots. This blows Southpaw away. I mean, Southpaw's a decent movie for what it is. I mean, decent boxing movie. It's confused, said. It's got a decent like I said, it's a 2-star performance. Or
it's
a
shot
4-star performance
super well, but it's a shitty movie.
This is shot much better. This is gonna. There's a couple of scenes that are a little silly, the bike racing. I know it's a big thing in Philly right now, but that scene is a little silly. But by that point, you're going with this fucking thing, and I'm telling you, this is an audience pleaser. No wonder it's making what it is. So highly recommended. One of the best movies I've seen this year. Loved Creed. I'm so glad this is in the right hands, that this was taken care of, that I was so worried about this coming out over the years. And I remember remarking to you about how pissed off I was they were doing this years ago, and my hope now is that Star Wars can even live up to this, because if Star Wars is as good as Creed, we are really going to be in for something. I mean, really, if it's done with that level of affection and care,
it should be.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for now. Like after seeing Bond, I was like, fuck, Creed's gonna come out and be shitty, and then Star Wars is gonna come out and be shitty. Seeing Creed, I got like reinvigorated on movies again. I've seen it twice. I don't want to see anything else and fuck that up. You know, I got love for movie again. So. Anyways, let's move on. I did see something else, and it was dog shit.
Uh-oh.
I saw The Night Before Christmas, and I was highly, highly let down by this movie.
That's not surprising.
This is A Christmas Carol. Let's not be there's a ghost of Christmas present, past, and future. And it's basically their version of Scrooge mixed with them trying to get into an exclusive party. It's like Swingers. It's too much of their shtick. And as much as I like Gordon Levitt and Rogan and Anthony Mack, I like that all their characters, and I like what they were trying to do. These jokes seemed like second-rate Pineapple Express jokes, like things they didn't work into that script. Well, we'll throw it into this.
That seems to be what they do nowadays. What their whole thing is get together and make a movie. You know, it's more for them than it is for anybody else. So
I started feeling like that when This Is the End happened. Like it was too meta.
Oh yeah, I mean that's totally This Is the End. It's just a movie for the, like, dudes hanging out. It's not really a reason to make a movie, maybe it is, but it's really not a reason for me to watch it.
Well, it's not a reason for me to get off my ass and go to a theater to see this kind of stuff, because this is stuff I've seen before. I'm sure it's funny if you're at home and you're watching it on demand or whatever, and you know you're sitting back in a certain state of mind. But when you go out and I'm coming off a Creed experience and I see this, I know it's not fair. It's apples to oranges comparison, but even on the level of other stuff that they've done, this is really starting to show. It to be honest, it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt's film, just much like 50-50 was. They're not advertising that as this. This is his movie. Rogan and Mackie are the supporting characters in this, and really none of their characters are really compelling enough, and their situations aren't interesting enough to warrant this kind of thing. Is it the best stoner Christmas movie ever made? Probably, but that's not really saying much. So
I don't know how many of those exist.
I think this and Harold and Kumar. So
did make a Christmas one of those. Yeah, that one was bad.
But this has no chance of knocking National Lampoon's off the shelf of being the perennial or Elf nowadays.
Yeah, Elf's
or
big.
Christmas Story or whatever you want to say. And there's like three movies they play now every Christmas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
Fred Claus. Yeah, I know.
Fred Claus. Get out of here with that one. I wanted to forget that. I saw that in a theater, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know. I think everyone fell into that trap. That was back when Vince Vaughn could do no wrong. But now,
that's when he could open.
No, no, no.
We should go see Vince Vaughn blindly. You're like, no, why? Stop doing that. Okay. What else we got here? Spy.
I don't know. You're looking at the list. I don't have the list.
I got Spy here. You saw
yes,
Spy?
I saw Spy.
I gave this one a moderate recommendation.
What
did you think?
That's about what I thought of it. You know, it's funny, but it is too serious and too long in parts.
My exact.
You know, and then that basically hurts it. Yeah, it tries to be this real movie, and it shouldn't be. It should be a funny, stupid movie, because when it was being funny and stupid, I thought it was really good.
And Statham is actually okay in this. I thought he
was pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And even Jude Law and Melissa McCarthy, as much as I'm not a fan, she pulls off a couple of, you know, making fun of her and a couple of the dialogue lines really work. But you're right, it gets too bogged down in its own technology and plot, like it's important, you know? And you're like, this really isn't that important, guys. Let's move along.
Especially when she's just when the whole begin. Oh my God, yeah, it's too long.
Yeah, I agree.
Just for beginners. The I don't know who was the guy that played the sex guy.
I can't recall, but I like
absolutely that. Fucking hysterical. Yeah, that was one of the best parts of the movies. Whenever was involved, and you know, when they were tied up and escaping, that was hysterical. But yeah,
I thought Get Smart was actually better for what it was doing on this kind of thing about the person that's not field ready, put out there, and then the double crosses and not being able to trust this and that. I mean, this kind of plot has been recycled from here. I Spy even did something similar to this. This one, from the trailer and from where her career was going, I thought this one was just going to be a home run, and I thought it was a solid double instead, you know?
Yeah. It was okay, though. But it's not a nail in the coffin by any means, but it certainly doesn't help. Flies under the radar. What's next?
Tell me about that bad case of cooties you got.
Oh, cooties. So cooties is the Elijah Wood movie about children. He did not direct it, but I believe his production company is what he's got that.
He loves these low-budget
Yeah, he's kind of got a Bloomberg thing going on.
Yeah.
Where he's making a lot of low budget stuff, and I believe that his company made this. I love the cast; worked really well, obviously. And this is about he's substituting for a school, and the kids get a zombie disease, and all the kids turn into zombies. Doesn't affect if you've gone through puberty, it doesn't affect you, or it doesn't turn you into a zombie. And so, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. I don't know. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I'm a little past these comedy horror movies. They're the same thing over and over again. Like, I get the joke already.
I'm hesitant to watch Guide to Surviving.
I'm probably going to skip that one because I've seen this now. And I'm pretty good. I mean, I was watching these types of movies, 10 years ago. You know, this comedy zombie stuff has been around for a long time.
I thought even Zombieland, this was kind of the peak of that.
Zombieland's really good, just in and of itself. But yeah, you're right. That's kind of the high mark for this stuff. And that's old at this point, you know. So it works. I don't know. Like I say, the cast, fantastic. But... Nah, the movie as a whole, you know, if you miss it, you didn't miss anything.
You've done yourself some favor in life.
I don't know if you've done yourself a favor, but you certainly haven't hurt yourself.
What about the SpongeBob SquarePants movie?
This is
a huge hit.
Fucking horrendous.
Really?
Wow, is this bad. I was ready to, at least somewhat enjoy this. I didn't enjoy it at all. It's horribly, horribly bad. the whole movie, basically they run, they, I don't know if you know anything about SpongeBob, there's plankton, you know, SpongeBob works for Mr. Krab and he makes, Krabby Patties, which is the hamburgers, and he works in a fast food joint. And Plankton owns a restaurant across the way, and no one likes his food because he makes nasty food. So he tries to steal the recipe for the Krabby Patties all the time. And this movie's basically, it centers around that. The first three quarters of this movie is all actually 2D animated, just as if it was a cartoon. And it's no better than anything that was on Nickelodeon or anything, any episode from the show. It's just basic nonsense. And then they finally come out of water, like for the last 15 minutes. And that's not even worth it either.
Well, my friend, you are no friend of the bong, and I am. So will I enjoy this more than you?
No, it's really boring. I mean, really truthfully very boring. And rehash, a complete rehash of everything that's already happened in the show, really.
Well, what you said that scares me the most is that they will look like something that's on television, because I thought anything that came from the Nickelodeon animation house, like all those Rugrats movies, it all looked cheap. None of that shit ever, even though it made astronomical cheap money, it never looked glossy or well done.
And not necessarily funny, you know, this is very one of those animations that kind of goes off on different tangents. You know, it takes a long way to get to the end. And there's nothing cerebral about it. You know, there's nothing smart or, you know, you're not trying to figure anything out. The jokes are very simple and stupid. And I don't know, it really doesn't play very well. It's noise. It's something you put on to entertain the kids, you know, for an hour and a half.
Curious, because this is going to end up grossing more than The Good Dinosaur will, which is very, very surprising, because this was a huge hit earlier this year.
Yeah, I hated it.
All right, we got a streaming online pick of the week. You want to recommend anything to our listeners out there? They should go out and watch. I got one.
No, I don't know.
I got Electric Boogaloo, the Fast Times in Life of Canon Films. This just went on Netflix streaming. Check it out. If you're a Canon Films fan, you cannot. If you don't know what Canon Films are, you probably aren't listening to this podcast.
Well, we just talked about that. We talked about this not too long ago.
I think it was on Hulu. It now is on Netflix. A lot of things came to Netflix.
No, I rented it, not too long ago. So it came on Netflix probably a couple weeks after I rented. That's typically how it goes. That's kind of right.
Usually it's same day, day and date.
Right. Well, typically, yeah. That's when they know that they want the movie to arrive at my house right when the day it goes streaming.
Well, thank you for reminding me, because when we get off air, I'm going to go and watch The Ridiculous Six, which is now available. It's post-midnight, December 11th.
There you go.
I appreciate that there. All right. You got anything to recommend?
I don't know. I watched Jessica Jones. See, that's really good.
Is it good? Is it worth watching?
Is it? I watched the whole thing. Made it all the way through it.
Wow, that's impressive.
So, and I didn't make it all the way through Daredevil. I only watched two episodes of that and got bored. But this one, I don't know, it really worked. I thought it's really dark. It's literally just about this guy who's like a crazy stalker after Jessica Jones, you know. And it doesn't try to be any more complicated than that. Oh, and she's a private eye, so right up my alley.
Oh, this is like combining Alias and Veronica Mars, man. You're set.
Oh, it's very Veronica Mars.
You're set.
But the superheroes and stuff. And the superhero stuff is kind of secondary, which I thought was really cool. But it's not afraid to get dark. You know, it's not afraid to get bloody. It's not afraid to kill people. It felt very real to me. And in this, we're kind of in this PC, you know, environment right now, except for Donald Trump. He's the only one who's not. But it was kind of, I don't know, refreshing, I guess, to see a show that wasn't hampered.
Yeah, I'm curious to check out at least the pilot on that. I figured that would be right up your alley, though, knowing what kind of genre films you like and whatnot. All right, let's get on to Trailer Addict. Let's do the trailers.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Okay.
Are you prepared for the addict?
Oh, God.
I'm mainlining trailers right now.
I am the addict.
Shooting them between my toes. Let's talk about The Legend of Tarzan. This dropped most recently. This is Alexander Skarsgård, Margaret Robbie, David Yates' film. He's done Harry Potter. I think he's doing the new Harry Potter spinoff while he's doing this currently. This is going to come out next summer. There's been a lot of behind-the-scenes drama with this movie. Budgets running out of control, reshoots, whatnot. Judging from this trailer, I'm kind of impressed. This reminded me of Peter Jackson's King Kong with that look, and I actually dug this trailer a little bit. I'm willing to give this a shot.
Yeah, and I unfortunately agree with you. I saw this trailer and I thought, wow, I do really want to see this. But it kept going, and it reminded me a lot of Pan. And one of the things I really hate about movies right now is I miss small movies, because I'm looking at this, God, if this were the 90s, this would be a different movie, but because it's 2015, it's ends, of course, with Tarzan
CG fight,
and fucking the ape jumping at each other and trying to punch each other, and it's just the whole movie's like that, it keeps building and building. It's so epic. Oh, we haven't even got to the most epic part yet. Oh, it gets more and more and more. And after a while, you're like, where the fuck was the story? What is this about? Is this really about Tarzan? Is there a legend in here? Or is it just a lot of fast action?
Well, is it a Greystoke thing? Is he back in English society? Is he, and then returns to the jungle?
Yeah, too much going on, right? It's too big.
But it looks beautiful.
It looks great. And it does look, I have to hope that there is a story in here. I do like Yates, so... So I'm like you. I'm willing to give this a shot, especially after this. And you wouldn't think Tarzan, you just wouldn't think it would work in today's technology world, But it does, right? It seems exciting, even. Yeah.
It seems adventurous, along the lines of an Indiana Jones, if you want, good jungle adventure that they used to make.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of those, so.
All right, next we got probably the second biggest drop, which was Captain America Civil War. This is technically... the 9th, 10th, 13th fucking Marvel movie, but this is the third Captain America film. The second Captain America film was really good, but I loved that
really
first
good.
One so much.
The first one's so boring.
I know, but I really did enjoy that first one so much.
Honestly,
I thought it had such a great
so bad.
Innocence and charm do it. The second one I respect, though. This one...
That's your boy trying to sell Star Wars.
I know, right? I like Joe Johnston. This movie,
Mighty Joe Young, there you go. Hey,
I knew there was some sort of connection there. Thank you.
talking about Tarzan.
Okay, I'm sold on this as well. I'm actually sold on this one.
Yeah, of course, me too. I watch Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm Marvel has won me over. I'm in. I guess I'm going down with the ship at this point, but. Yeah, I just, you have to worry. I watch this and I think, fuck, there's a lot going on. And I'm looking around. There's, Scarlet Witch is kind of in there. And there's these other secondary characters. And all of a sudden, it's like, where's the other Avengers and stuff? And what's going on? There's so much fucking going on.
And what's Nick Fury?
There's so much going on. No, seriously. There's so much fucking going on. You just think, holy shit, this is going to be, this is either going to be a disaster or this is going to be one hell of a movie.
It almost seems like a checklist. Like they got to check in with everybody, and everyone's got to make their little appearance, turn into like a stage play.
Yeah, they've serialized this, almost to a T. It's very episodic, the way they've done this, as you say, checking in with everyone. And I kind of like that because I really do enjoy these characters, so I kind of want to check in on them.
Well, you've definitely turned the tide on your Marvel because you were burnt out on this. I thought the Avengers, the last one, was. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I saw before you.
That's right, you did. Thank you. You liked it more than I did, actually.
Yeah, it was all right, yeah.
I felt it was a bit of a letdown.
It's very episodic, isn't it? It feels like a TV episode.
I felt that way since the first Avengers movie, really, that nothing has come close to being as good as anything from that previous – well, the first Thor probably wasn't the greatest, but it still was fun, And I'm missing that quality. From any of this stuff,
but
now.
We're deep. I mean, we're a second
we
round here.
Deep.
It's already done. We're Empire Strikes Back territory. So what you're saying is that as a whole here, this isn't working in its second act.
But I haven't seen Ant-Man yet, and I reserve judgment.
Neither have I. I'm, but I'm son of a bitch. There's so much going on. It's crazy that you're going to tie like Ant-Man into Captain America: Civil War and stuff. It's crazy to me that they made this universe. It's almost too big to work, but it does. Yeah.
They keep defying Yon. Weird,
which makes me think that they can make Star Wars work, you know, with what they're doing there. Cause maybe, you know, maybe those characters I'm going to come to like, and I'm going to want to check in on them as well. I don't know.
By the time they get to the end of these phases, we'll be rebooting current people. It's unbelievable.
That's my worry though, because how do you do that? Maybe that doesn't work.
Yeah, maybe they're done.
I mean, honestly, I mean, at this point, I really like these characters most because I like the actors playing them.
Yeah, so. Chris Evans now is Captain America. I mean, all these people are.
You know, Scarlett Johansson, even Jeremy Renner. You know, I don't know if you replace them in one foul swoop, isn't it? It's going to be weird, right? It might not work. I don't know. I'm thinking, to me, you know, Fantastic Four is kind of that. You know, it doesn't work in a way because of that. I haven't even seen it, but you know, I like the first characters so much. They did such a good job casting.
Terrence Howard sits somewhere crying. He got Robert Downey all that money. He could have been in all these movies.
He's an empire.
Yeah, he's got some money coming in.
He's crazy too, so he's all good.
Let's talk briefly here about Barbershop 3, the next cut. Ice Cube.
I was hoping it would be the final cut.
Yeah, no, it's just the next cut because they want to leave this open. This looks just rancid, and I don't mean because it's Barbershop. I enjoyed the first Barbershop.
Really, I've never seen one.
The first one's good. The second one sucked. This looks like it's recycling all the shitty parts from the second one and throwing it out there again. This looks just like a rehash of a rehash of a rehash.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like, you're probably ready for the Monique spinoff, right? What was that?
Beauty shop? No, I'm good on that one.
The Next Style?
That wasn't that great. That was Queen Latifah, actually.
I thought Monique. No, maybe there was a second one and Monique was in it.
Oh, man, was there fucking Beauty Shop?
I'm telling you, there's one with Monique. Maybe she's in the... I don't know what's going on. I haven't seen any of these.
I blocked that fucking movie if I saw it. And those are hours I can't come back.
I like the message in this, but as you know, I don't think movies necessarily should have a message. So that's kind of where I think they went wrong, because this feels like a, you know, let's do something to give back. But the best thing you could do to give back would be to make a good movie.
And you know there we are. So, conundrum.
Yeah.
Space-time continuum. All right, let's talk about Midnight Special. Talk about Space-Time Continuum. This is the latest film from Jeff Nichols, who did the very, very good movies Take Shelter and Mud, starring Matthew McConaughey in one and Michael Shannon in the other. Michael Shannon returns to work with him here. Mm-hmm. This looks like an updated version of Daryl, doesn't it? I mean, what's going on here?
This looks good.
I know, it looks great.
I thought this looked really good.
I love Nichols' other movies.
General Zod returns to save his son. I think it looks great.
I got to say, Michael Shannon was the best part of The Night Before Christmas as the pot dealer who speaks.
Yeah. I really like Michael Shannon. He's very surprisingly good in pretty much everything.
Even when he's playing Michael Shannon. what's funny in The Night Before Christmas is that he's playing Michael Shannon and he's making fun of Michael Shannon, but I don't know if he knew that. You know, it's very peculiar.
It was too meta. He didn't know.
Yeah, right. It was double meta, and he just got lost on Carry the Two. But this looks extremely, extremely well shot and stylized and right up my alley. This is the kind of thing that I think Donnie Darko tried to do less successfully, in a sense, be kind of peculiar and odd while still trying to tell a mainstream story.
I don't know that it's necessarily trying to be peculiar and odd. Do you think that it's – I mean, it's definitely trying to be indie, I guess, or trying to cast itself in a different light. But yeah, but it's very just a superhero story, is it not? I mean, just – down to a T, you know, it's like an X-Men type thing. Kid has powers. I don't know. It might be an alien thing. And the dad is trying to help him, save him, you know, stop the government from getting their hands on him. I don't know.
Daryl meets Starman for whatever reason in this thing. Sure. But regardless, looks very, very good. This comes out March 2016. And I don't know. I'm already looking forward to this very much. This comes out right in that slot that Ex Machina came out in this year. So,
yeah, and I'm way more interested in this than that. So,
and that movie has kind of fallen by the wayside in terms of nominations and whatnot. I thought that was going to be nominated. I mean, I believe
it's just not that good.
it just falls apart.
Yeah, it does.
For most of the ride, I was really intrigued. All right, next we have Knight of Cups. This is Terrence Malick's latest visual opus. And this stars Christian Bale. And this, for a filmmaker who only made movies like once every 10 years, he's really been prolific as of late. And I think much to his
detriment. I wish he'd stop.
Because his movies are becoming more and more opaque. I can't understand.
I don't even think this makes sense.
Any of this shit. Yeah, it's becoming like Cronenberg almost.
Yeah, I mean, this just looks bad. And it's not... I don't know. It's so disjointed to a point that I don't even know that you would get any joy out of it at all, period, right? Or even trying to figure it out, or
I didn't add or a listening life, to. So.
I don't know what he's trying to say anyway. Yeah, I refuse to even watch that. You know, I've seen a little bit of it, and I have to give up.
Meandering, the one with Ben Affleck that he did, that's on Netflix right now.
Yeah,
he did a couple years ago. That was I hate to say, but it's almost like masturbatory. He's very into making a certain type of film that's almost non-linear.
Really, does it work if you're trying to make art, you know? Because that's what it feels like to me. It's like he's really trying to squeeze out a diamond here, you know? And it's just, it's like, it's not...
To me, it's you've lost the ability to tell a narrative.
Well, exactly. So you're trying to do something very artistic, right? But it's not artistic. It just looks artistic is what it comes off to me.
Get Emmanuel Lubezki to shoot the goddamn thing, and it's going to look beautiful. You're going to get amazing images. Mm-hmm. This guy's won the Oscar twice. But the fact of this matter is this movie has no reason that you'd want to see this. I mean, outside of some beautiful shots and an interesting idea that the super rich Hollywood nouveau is doing something terrible to one another, but that's been explored by many people, you know. So what do we have here other than a collection of shots? And I don't want to see another Terrence Malick movie where a character who's a spoiled rich asshole, you know, complains about his fucking life. I've seen a bunch of them now, and this guy really, he hasn't done a good movie since The Thin Red Line,
which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, well, there you go. I don't care for most of his work. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think Thin Red Line is almost a fluke. I didn't care for Days of Heaven, which, you know, we had an instructor who just couldn't stop gushing about that. I still don't understand where that's at, where that love comes from.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I agree. Okay, last one. We got one more.
Oh, I saved the best for last. Teenage Ninja Turtles 2.
Out of the shadows.
Coming out of the shells.
What a colon tagline.
I love that colon.
So what do we think? I mean, I'm pretty hyped, actually.
I'm fucking down, bro. I love the first one. I'm more down.
I like the first one quite a bit. I'm excited that this trailer is really kind of makes you feel like an asshole a little bit, because it starts off and you think, holy shit, this is Transformers 3. This is Avengers 1.
Yes.
Not fuck right. Yes. Come on, man. This is some stupid shit.
No, I was going
please. From the beginning with the alien thing, that's just it's just the end of fucking Avengers. You were like, "Ooh, let's watch that again?" Oh, come on. Give me a break. Once the Ninja Turtles showed up though and added their own flair to this, that's when this came alive to me, and I was like, "Oh yeah. This is different than everything else. You know, it's not the same shit."
Strangely, is I buy these as my Ninja Turtles now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not against them like I would be most reboots of childhood things I like.
That's true.
I love the original ones. I like these Ninja Turtles. I have no problem with what they're doing here. I like the humor they're bringing. I like this new guy as Casey Jones with Stephen Amell.
I agree. I think this works on every level.
Yeah, I think this is going to be
the first one did too. I liked it, but yeah.
Another big
hit. I think
this
looks better than the first one.
I really liked that first. I know you didn't, but I'm hoping that they've now can get past that. You know, they set up already the world. You know,
yeah, that's exactly. That's my hope as well. And that's what it looks like they're doing. It looks like this is bigger. It looks like there's more comedy, which is great, because with more comedy, especially with the turtles, you get more time with the turtles. You know, that was one of the things I didn't like about the first one so much. They weren't in it a lot.
That kind of goes with the first Turtles movie. You know, they're trying to.
It does.
That's kind of move with them. They do hide. They're kind of out of the way. You know, that's kind of like their deal.
So now that they're done with that, I think that this will be better.
And it's always nice to have Megan Fox back on screen, right?
Wow, she's the best.
Yeah, we like her.
That was creepy.
What's creepy is when I saw Transformers on IMAX and she's bending over a fucking car, and I'm like, my God. It's like 7 feet tall.
You were the only one in the theater during Jonah Hex. We all know what you were doing.
I was, actually.
We all know what you were doing.
That movie was too short to get anything going. It's like an 80-minute movie. Are we out of trailers? We're out of trailers, huh?
We're done.
Oh, wow. We're done. We're calling it a day. Oh. All right. Well, it was good to be back on air with you. It was nice to getting some movie talk in. We haven't done this in a while.
I know. How long have we... It's the hour mark, you know, so we are done.
We are at the witching hour.
We hit it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said. All right, so we want to thank you guys for joining us always. Wherever you're getting your podcast, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, wherever you guys are getting this, thank you guys for listening. As always, go to Movie Mavericks for reviews and our past podcasts as well. Go to Box Office Ace and play the prediction game. The year is coming to an end, but next year is coming up quickly, and you can get into a fresh, fresh game. We will be back with you presumably next week. Possibly a little later. We got Christmas coming up and some other things.
Our top 10 next time. Next
we're
episode
doing
our
top
10
next time.
What do you say? Yeah.
Best, worst, you know, and all sorts of fun categories. Best sequel worst, of the year. Worst sequel of the year.
Hairiest,
best use of CGI.
Most sex.
Exactly. Best sex. And other than that, we're going to say continue watching movies. Thank you for joining us. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I am Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com/warp9. Engage!